record that he came to Winston-Salem, I'll say between 45 and 50 years ago, because I have sold him gasoline when I was about 15 years old. But if he hadn't come, I might not be here tonight. Not here. Because he came and pioneered this work through here, although I was saved under Brother McKay's ministry. Then my sister invited me to the meeting and began to hear the Word of God. And so I'm thankful tonight, personally, that you came to Winston-Salem. So now, Brother Lester Wilson.
You might as well drop the subject of age. When I came here so long ago. So nice to be here, although it's just a yearly visit, so the happy occasion for me to come back and to see the Christians in Winston-Salem. Shall we turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And there is a verse, I'll quote it, you won't have to turn to it, but it's over in Malachi 3:6. I am Jehovah, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now you keep that in mind as we read in Hebrews, the first chapter, and verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish or have an end. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Notice that they, referring to the material, tangible universe, things in the world that we can handle, but when he speaks of thou remainest, thou art the same, he's referring to the person of Christ. I'd like to speak on that tonight. A couple of years ago, there was a program on our station, and it was 50 years in Georgia. Although he confined his comments to Georgia, he might as well have used North Carolina too, because conditions were the same. And he spoke of what had been going on for 50 years, the progress that was made, the changes in various fields. And when he got through, I thought, can it be that I've lived that long? Have I been here so long as to have covered all that he gave there? Yes, you had, a little longer. I couldn't believe that so much had happened in my little life. And I've been down in here 54 years. But to think of the changes that had taken place in those years, it almost staggered me. When thinking about tonight, I began thinking of changes. The many changes there is in life today. But there's one we can be thankful for. He never does change. Things do change. Material things do change. But he changes not. It is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to die. He cannot sin. He cannot fail. He cannot faint. He cannot clear the guilty. And God cannot change. How happy I am for that fact that God cannot change. The material world is constantly changing. Above and beneath, in the air, the land, the sea. You have erosion, you have pollution. Things are constantly changing. Civilizations change. Governments come and they go. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. But he never changes. I was thinking today about when I was a young fellow going to school. And We were taught back in those days, and we used to sing so proudly, Britannia rules the waves. Of course, I was born in England and brought up a good deal in Canada, and we used to sing so lustily, Britannia rules the waves, and the British fleet did. And she had a far-flung empire, all those colonies. And we used to look at the map and see all those red marks and areas. That represented Great Britain. And how wonderful it was to think of the power of the British Empire. But we can no longer sing Britannia rules the waves, for England is not about the third or fourth world power as to the Navy. And so, when we stop to think of the changes that have come in my lifetime, you think of cultures and how they have changed, and they have changed right here in the South. You can think of economies, politics, industries, think of automation. When I came down South, you see people out picking cotton. You can't find them doing that today. They've got cotton pickers. And I never thought you'd ever see one of those things in the cotton field. But a change took place. And in the field of education, there is a great change. You think today of robots, and you think of the computers, things that were never dreamed of 50 years ago. Also, you can think of the sciences that have changed, and the military aspect. I never dreamed that I'd live to see the day when this country or any other country would have the arsenal of destruction that they have today. It never entered into anyone's mind. But think how so much has changed in my lifetime. The military, and also in transportation. The swift buses and trains and the planes, and now you can take a trip out into space if you'd like to. And you can't think of these things. 50 years ago, it was unthought of how these things took place. A man going to the moon. And also in the field of morals. My, how things have changed. And in the medical field, it was unthought of 50 years ago, a heart transplant. But think of the progress that has been made in the field of medicine. Constant changes, constant progress. So you see change, change, and change. And also in the ecclesiastical world, the religious world, think of the cults that have come along. Things we never dreamed of back then. And all the changes that have come into the world, the ecclesiastical, the religious world. Think of domestic change. Think of the changes that have come into the family life today. When parents are to obey their children, if the children want to take the case to court, likely the child will win. What kind of changes there are in our homes, our families? We were told to obey our parents, but it's not carried out today. Families are scattered, broken up, and it's a tragedy today, the change that's come over the domestic, the family life of America. Life is a constant adjustment to change, constant change. I think of my hometown in Stratford. I just came down from there. When I was a boy and growing up to when I was, say, at the age of 19, it was a big railroad center. All they talked and did was railroad, railroad, railroad. Today, it is a tourist attraction, and the whole life of that city is Shakespearean festivals. What a change. It's hardly the same place. I can go uptown a half a dozen times and not see one person I know. What a change. A lot of things change. But our text makes it plain, no change, Jehovah knows. God does not change. The Lord Jesus Christ does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. He communicates eternity of existence to everything he touches. And over in Hebrews, you read about his throne is everlasting, his salvation is eternal, his priesthood is unchanging, his redemption has no end, his inheritance is eternal, his kingdom cannot be moved, his covenant is everlasting, and he inhabits eternity, for he cannot change. What a contrast. He changeth not. But we change. My, how we change. If I hear this, once I hear it, 50 times every time I come to one of these places, I feel like, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. Well, I accept it with kind of a smile. I have changed. I can't run as fast as I used to. And I can't stoop as quick as I used to. I know I've changed. I appreciate your kindness. But I've changed. We've all changed. We've changed in size. We've changed in our looks. We've changed in our health. A constant change going on. And some I once knew, so healthy, so strong, today are frail and dying by the hour. Oh, the changes. The process of deterioration is going on constantly. But though the outward man perish, with all of us, the inward man can be renewed day by day. There can be that unchanging frame of mind, that unchanging state of heart and soul, because of being occupied with the unchanging one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a change in wealth. Some, they go from riches to rags, and others from rags to riches. A change in possession. There can be change in minds and in attitudes and ideas. Yes, a lot of change. Some have the sad experience of changing from sanity to insanity. On rare occasion when we go from insanity back to sanity. Change. Friends change. Some friends turn to be foes. Oh, the changing heart of man. Constant changes going on. Like the lovely old hymn we used to sing, there is a friend for little children above the bright blue sky, and this friend is always, never changeth, whose love can never die. Unlike our friends by nature who change with changing years, this friend is always faithful, the precious name he bears. We have a changeless friend. And what is a friend? A friend is somebody who knows all about you and loves you just the same. And we only have one friend like that. Yes, things change. But there's something, although I've mentioned things that change and personalities who change, human beings who change, but there are some things about God that do not change. His attributes do not change. In essence, he cannot change. His attributes cannot change. His attributes. What do I mean? His power. His power has not diminished, nor has his power increased. His wisdom has not changed. He doesn't know more nor less. He knows the end from the beginning. His attributes do not change. His wisdom is just as great today as it was in the beginning. These are attributes of God. His love never changes, and for this I'm very grateful. One of God's great attributes is that He loves. He does. God is love. Not He did or He will, but God is love. He always will be love. He never changes. How wonderful to know that He never changes. My love is oft times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with God remains the same. No change. Jehovah knows. He changeth not. Not like human love. Human love, natural love, can change. It has a limit. But His love has no limit. It's unlimited. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Lord Jesus laid down His life for His enemies. No one else ever had that kind of love. How great is His love, this unchanging. He has wisdom and power to design and create greater worlds. But God has no greater love. His power can achieve great things. But God told out His love, His unchanging, eternal love, His undying love. He told it out at the cross when He gave it all. He reserved nothing back for a future occasion. God took out His heart and held it up at Calvary. That's God's love. And He loves me just as much today as when He hung on that cross. His love cannot change. How wonderful to know that. His love never changes. I suppose you remember the story or the hymn about that remarkable man, George Matheson. He was engaged to a young lady, deep was his love. Until one day he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him some sad news. He told him, "Mr. Matheson, you've got an eye disease, and you'll soon be blind, and you'll be blind the rest of your life." The first one to come into his mind was his fiancée. He hastened to her, and he said, "I've got something to tell you." And so they sat down, and he took her hand in his. And then he broke the news to her. He said, "The doctor informs me that I'll soon be blind, and I'll be blind for the rest of my life." He thought he'd get some sympathy from the one he loved the most, and thought she loved him. She withdrew her hands from his and said, "I don't wish to be married to a blind man for the rest of my life." She withdrew her hands and left the room. George Matheson, crushed, he sat down and wrote that hymn that you've often sung. "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean's depths it flow, might richer, fuller be." George Matheson learned something of the fickleness of human love. But how wonderful to know God's love is not like that. We have a God, a Savior, who loves us. He loves us, and He'll love us forever. His love is not fickle. His love is real. It's genuine. It's abiding. That's the love of God and the love of Christ. It never changes. another thing about him that never changes, and that is his promises. His promises will never change, and he's made plenty of them. His promises will not change. What he has promised, he is able also to perform. Paul says, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Paul believed God exactly as it was written in his book. Yes, God never changes in his promises. He says as plainly that though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I've had to use that text on many occasions in my life, dealing with people who've had mental difficulties, emotional stresses. On a number of occasions, someone stayed behind or came to my apartment to know if I could talk to them. I thought they came because they wanted to be saved. I noticed they weren't following me. Finally, I said, do you have trouble sleeping? I can't sleep. Are you taking medication? Yes. Do you have any depression? Yes. Deep depression. I'm sorry. You don't need a preacher. You need a doctor. Someone, a neurologist. And when you get your nerves, mind straightened out and settled, I'll be able to talk with you. And that's true. They've got to the point where they can't grasp by faith the realities of Christianity. Though we believe not, and it's possible for a child of God to get to that point where they don't have the faith to believe. Yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. When I went to Albany years ago, there's a dear old lady, Mrs. Cutler. They used to call her and her husband, he was a doctor, the sweethearts of Albany. And she came out to our meetings. She taught a Bible class for 50 years in the First Baptist Church. She was asked to come out to the chapel, and she came. One night, she asked if I could take her home. I said, yes. On the way home, she said, Brother Wilson, what do I have to do to come into your church fellowship? I said, Mrs. Cutler, at your age, and having taught that class for 50 years, and you're 84 years of age, why do you want to leave that church and come into the chapel? Well, she said, I'll tell you the truth. I've heard so much of program this and program that, association this and association that. She said, when I was 16, I got saved. And she said, we were only a little group. But she said, the preacher got up, and after a verse or two of a hymn, he'd give thanks, and he'd say, let's read the Bible. And he would take a passage of Scripture and spend maybe 40 minutes expounding the Word of God. And we ended up with another hymn and prayer, and we were like a happy family. We hated to part from one from the other. All we heard was the Bible. And she said, that's how I began my Christian life, as a girl of 16. That's the way I'd like to end my Christian life, with that Christian simplicity, hearing the Word of God. Well, I said, Mrs. Cutler, if you'd like to come into the fellowship, we'd be happy to have you. She came. She lived to be 94. One day I went by to pick her up, take her to a special meeting we're having, and found her on the floor with a broken hip. We had to call the doctor. Doctor had the ambulance come and take her to the hospital. Day after day, for nearly a year and a half, I visited her bedside. A keen, brilliant mind. One day I said to her, I said, "Miss Cutler, when you die, there's one thing I want you to will to me." She said, "What's that?" I said, "Your mantle of slumber," because she could have slept on a clothesline. I said, "Will to me your mantle of slumber." She said, "If you'll see me go." See how quick she was. Because that's what Elijah said to Elisha. "If you want my mantle, you'll have to see me go." She was that quick. And no matter what question you put to her, she had the answer. Some preachers were afraid to go in the room. She'd embarrassed them. One day I went in. She says, "Brother Wilson, I wondered if I'm saved. I can't sleep. I wonder if I'm saved." I said, "Mrs. Cutler, I don't question that for a minute." But the mind began to go. And I thought to myself, here is this brilliant mind. And at the end, it's slowing up. To the point where that strong faith of hers was wavering. She couldn't seem to grasp the promises of God. Was she lost? 1,000 times no. Nature was failing. Health was failing. "Though we believe not," I said, "Mrs. Cutler, if you got to the point where you say, 'I'm not saved at all, I never did believe,'" I said, "God would be faithful to his promise. Though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." God's memory will never fail. His word will never change. There's no change with him. We took the funeral of that dear soul who was loved all over Albany when she kept that Bible class or taught it. When she was buried, 4 in the whole city turned up to her funeral. Just because she came to fellowship in the Albany Gospel Chapel. A doctor was there who was not a Christian. He was infuriated. He met me on the street. He said, "Mr. Wilson, I know Mrs. Cutler. Her husband had a room next to mine, a waiting room. Our practices were side by side." He says, "I know what that woman meant to that church and the money that was given." And he says, "To think that at her funeral, out of 2,500 members, only 4 paid their respects." Yes, how changeable man is. Though we believe not, yet he cannot deny himself. He abideth faithful. The time may come in your life and mine when our faith may become feeble. And we won't be able to grasp them. We'd like to grasp something solid. But our faith won't let us. Then's the time when he'll take over. For he changes not. Once you're saved forever. His wonderful love, it never, never changes. And his word, he'll never change. His promises. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he hasn't changed. He'll keep that word. "Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more." That promise he will keep. He'll never change it. "I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish." That hasn't changed. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." That promise hasn't changed. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You can't change it. I'm glad his promises never change. nor do his plans change. He never changed his plans. God's plan of salvation has not changed. God's salvation in the Old Testament new revolves around two words, blood and faith. We're saved through blood by faith. And God hasn't changed. Why, Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Adam and Eve sinned, but blood restored them to fellowship with God. Abel, the same with him, he brought his sacrifice through faith, Abel. Right throughout your Bible, God's salvation rests upon his plan of redemption. It's through blood, by faith. And God is not a modernist. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed in his plan of redemption. He hasn't changed in his plan of the ages. His plan is to consummate this present age by the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church is full, when the last soul is saved to complement the church, God's plan is that Jesus Christ will come. And he hasn't changed. And after that event, there'll be the great tribulation. God hasn't changed his mind. After that event will be the Armageddon and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And God hasn't changed. After that will be the new heavens and the new earth. That's God's plan, and it hasn't changed. And if you want to read in Daniel 2, you have the four world powers, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Roman. And they're right on schedule. God has not changed. I'm glad God doesn't change his plan. Also, there are other things God doesn't change. He doesn't change in his threatenings. He says in the Bible, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And God hasn't changed. God hasn't become soft. He means just that. He says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And he also tells us in language unmistakable, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. And God hasn't changed. His threatenings have not changed. There's other things, too, that haven't changed. His benefits have not changed. What did that text say that we quoted over Malachi? I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What's he saying? Jacob, if I could change my mind, you'd be consumed. But I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I would bless Israel and restore them in the latter days and establish them in the land. And I'm going to stand by that benefit to the nation of Israel. I've not changed my mind. If I were to change my mind, I'd blot out all that's left of that nation. But he says, I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'll still keep my word. I bless Israel. Chastise in measure, they will be. But cast off forever, never. God is going to fulfill his promises to the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Israel shall be blessed. What a benefit. I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What about our benefits?
In what way does this benefit us?
Well, it simply means this. I can't be consumed. God cannot change. And my enemies can't consume me. Neither the whirl of flesh nor the devil can consume me. That's one of the benefits and blessings of God's wonderful salvation. God would have to change in order for me to be lost. And he'll never change. And I'll never, never be lost. Trials cannot consume me. My sins can't consume me. Even hell and the lake of fire could not consume or devour or annihilate me. No, I am not consumed and never can be consumed, for I am Jehovah. He says, I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob and ye members of the church are not consumed. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. As long as Jesus Christ lives at the right hand of God, I am secure. And I can never perish and never be consumed. When Jesus Christ is consumed, then I'll be. And if he'll never be consumed, neither will I. That's one of the benefits and blessings of God's beloved people. How wonderful to know that I'm like him. I will be like him forever. He is the Ancient of Days. How wonderful to think of him in that capacity, the Ancient of Days. He's referred to as the Ancient of Days, the ageless, timeless, tireless bridegroom. Revelation is spoken of not as the ox, but as the calf. Something that's young. The lamb freshly slain. He never grows old. No, he never will. Fair as the morning, beautiful and fragrant as spring. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He never changes. He can't get old. He never will. He is the immortal youth. And we shall be like him. Exactly. I wonder if you believe it. That's what he says. We shall be like him. And he says it. I believe it. And we'll all be happy if we believe that too. Simply by faith. I think of that lovely hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever should be. How true that is. When the storms of earth have sobbed themselves to sleep, and the tempests of time have rent themselves to rags, then he and I in that bright glory, one deep joy to share. My joy to be forever with him, his joy, that I am there. All that, until then, all that lovely hymn, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, on all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the day we came to know him. We thank thee, Father, for thy grace, thy kindness to us over the years. How faithful thou hast been to us in our unfaithfulness. We thank thee for thy holy word thou hast given us. Precious promises, enduring promises.
We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit that dwells within our hearts. How we need Him in the present changing world in which we live. We ask Thee to bless Thy word to every one of us here, should there be one listening who is not a Christian. Holy Father, may that one receive Christ and do it tonight. Do it now. If not, it will be the lake of fire forever and forever. O God, we ask Thee to bless Thy word in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing 240? 240. Just the first three verses. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When others' helpers fail and comforts flee, O Thou, fail us not, abide with me. Shall we stand and sing the first three verses?